On the arrival, this is because she was highest ranked as I age. On the arrival of Sati, Sanya is Patana.
The Patana.
For the arrival of Sati, one condition is Sanya.
The personal cause of Samasthi of the Eightfold Path has to be Sanya of what one has heard about the Eightfold Path. And when one understands the Sanya of understanding conditions, Sati to arise. But if one doesn't understand, how can there will be Sanya as conditions for Samasati to arise?
Suppose if one have confidence that I can understand the characteristics of Sati well, and I knew that how to develop it, and I'm on the right path. But if that person miss the opportunities to hear Dhamma often, perhaps for that person it is.
So it depends on Sanya of right understanding of
when the experience come. When the experiencing can be the object
of Sati.
When I know the experiencing can be the object of Sati, and when the experiencing through Yano can be the object of Sati, these two characteristics of experiencing are same or not?
Are same by way of being Nama, experiencing.
If so, seeing does not appear as seeing, but it appears as Nama.
Don't use the word Nama, because Nama is only conventional term.
Ah, yes,
the characteristic of it is experiencing. Now, seeing experiences visual object. Hearing.
Yes, visual object appears because there is seeing.
Yes. So in order to develop Panya, one can distinguish, or Panya can distinguish Nama, the experience, from the object which is seen at moment of seeing. Otherwise, it's not Panya. If it cannot distinguish the experience from the object which is seen. So there should be awareness at moment of seeing precisely of the object, whether it's the experiencing or whether it's the visual object. From one doorway to another doorway, right at the moment when it appears.
When Sati be aware of seeing, what appears?
Excuse me?
When Sati seeing can be the object of Sati, what appears?
The experience.
As experience?
Yes. Only. It does not appear as concrete object or like visual object or sound. It appears as experiencing, knowing.
But the characteristics of seeing and the characteristics of hearing are different.
Because they are different moments. Different type.
Okay.
One can experience only visual object, the other can experience only sound. How can they are the same or have the same characteristic?
But both are experienced.
Yes, that's why one should realize the characteristic of nama or the experiencing, no matter through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, that they are only the experiencing of object through different doorway. But they are still not the same one.
How not?
Because the seeing sees now, it does not hear at moment of seeing.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. At moment of hearing, it does not see.
Right.
It hears.
Right.
How can they are the same?
But both are same in the way of
being experiencing. There
is no doubt at all that they are not the same. They are two completely different realities. They are, we talk of them in the same only by way of classification. They both are classified as experiences rather than rupas. So they are the same in the sense that they belong to the class of experiences and not to the class of objects which are experienced. But there's no doubt that they are completely different, because one hears and the other one sees.
Why do you want them to be the same?
One by one doorway, please. Don't mix. At this moment of seeing, try to develop right understanding of rupa, which is seen, and the experience of the object which is seen. Just one doorway at a time.
Yes. If not at the same time, it is not problem. It is not my point. The point is, when something which appears when seeing can be the object of sati, and something which appears when hearing can be the object of sati.
When you use, yes,
you are saying have same characteristics or not?
Panya has to be gradually developed. First, there is no understanding of nama and rupa precisely. Because one may think that one is aware of this object, but at that moment it's only thinking about that object instead of being aware of the characteristic which appears. But later on, at moment of seeing, just be aware, or awareness can arise, and study or examine or learn to have precise knowledge of the distinction of nama and rupa, or the experiencing and the object. One doorway at a time. For example, at this moment of seeing, don't think of hearing. The rupa is seen. The visual object is the object now at moment of seeing. No body in it. But there must be the experience of which object too. Otherwise, which object cannot appear at all. When there is the right understanding of the experience, experience now.
Just as
experience. Yes.
Pure experience.
Yes, that's all. That's the characteristic
in
of
experience. In the experience, there is no any induction of visual object.
No.
Just appears as experience.
Yes.
Can we say that being aware of nama and being aware of rupa are different forms of awareness?
Awareness is awareness anyway. Whenever it arises, it is aware of the characteristic of reality. which appears. When there is the idea of self, thinking, dreaming, that is not awareness. Because there is no awareness of the characteristic of reality which appears. So awareness is only awareness. It is awareness. It is aware of the characteristic of reality which appears.
But being aware of color is different than being aware of seeing.
Different moment. But awareness is always aware of the characteristic of the reality which appears.
Awareness is that which is aware of the characteristic of reality which it appears. So whenever it arises, it is aware of the characteristic of reality
yes.
that appears.
Mm-hmm.
But so it can arise with any one of these different realities.
The only way to know awareness really is to be aware of it. And then does it matter what awareness has been aware of at the moment that you are aware of, or that awareness is aware of awareness? It's just awareness. It doesn't matter what object it had. When you are aware of the awareness that is aware of seeing, is it any different from being aware of the awareness that is aware of color?
The object is different, but the awareness is aware.
Yes.
Always is aware of the characteristic which appears when it arises, when awareness arises.
Mm-hmm.
It is aware of which object, it is aware of hardness, it is aware of sound, it is aware of the experiences.
Mm-hmm. When you describe seeing before as something, there's the reality which sees, it has no characteristics except that it doesn't hear and that it's not an object of
its. Its characteristic is experiencing.
Yes. But one of my first reactions to this was that this is very mundane. Is that the way the world is used in Buddhism? Every once in a while it appears. This is mundane. Do you know that?
Yes, I understand it. You want to separate Dhamma from mundane?
No.
No. So mundane is Dhamma.
Yes.
Dhamma is mundane.
Dhamma is mundane.
Daily life. You cannot take Dhamma out of mundane reality. Because mundane is reality.
So seeing is mundane?
Yes. Common. Very common. Dhamma is mundane. Daily life.
Nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand that with the right development, the panya can see clearly the characteristics of nama and rupa which arise, of which sati is aware.
When panya sees the characteristic of reality, doesn't it perform any function? The function of panya is detachment from clinging,
yes.
from wrong view.
Yes.
On and on and on and on, up and up and up and up. When one experiences the arising and falling away of nama and rupa, doesn't bring any detachment
yes.
from taking it for.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
But the only thing that I can't understand is why, in the middle of daily life,
yes.
doing whatever
all right.
like that,
in the middle of daily life, excuse me, in the middle of daily life, can sati arise or not?
Yes.
Can panya accompany sati?
Yes.
Okay. When panya has been developed, who can stop that level of panya to arise?
No one.
It's so immediate, so anatta, that one can see the meaning of anatta. No control. Is lopa so fast to arise? Lopa. Can sati be as fast as that?
Yes.
When it has been developed? When there is no right understanding which can distinguish nama from rupa precisely, panya cannot perform anything. Kun Salika, do you think of this life, or do you think more of next life? When we ask about next life.
This life.
More than this life.
Yes. I don't need to know about next life, but I find when I talk to many people, they are very afraid. Now, they have fear now of what will happen to them when they die. So if they understand they have a fear now, they don't have that much fear. They understand about next life. They don't have fear now. They are afraid now of dying. They are afraid. So they have fear now.
It seems like they think that they do not die or will not die if they are afraid to die.
Yes. Most people are afraid to die because they don't understand exactly.
And if they understand, do you think that they have less fear?
Yes. Much less, I think. When we talk about seeing color, and we try to see, to be aware of the difference between them, sometimes we see clear or unclear. Do we say the clarity of seeing is in the seeing or in the color?
What is clear?
Seeing.
Seeing experience is object.
Yes.
It's only the experience. Now it's experiencing visual object. Only
yes.
Experience. The knowing, the experiencing.
Yes, this is seeing. So when you say clear, or more clear, or less clear.
Clear comprehension, a clear understanding that it's the reality which experiences object.
Do you mean by seeing clearly? Do you mean understanding clearly?
No, seeing clearly.
You mean sometimes you can see it and it's very...
But that is not the understanding of seeing as now.
Certainly, but I think that you are talking about understanding clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And Soli has an idea of seeing clearly through eyes, and he doesn't realize perhaps that it's many different...
What about when he takes off his glasses?
Yeah. That's what I think he's talking
yes,
about.
Yes, but what is clear? The object or the seeing?
Well, this is what my question is. What is clear, the object or the seeing?
The seeing only experiences object.
Yes.
How clear the object is.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on
the other conditions, like eye sense, the quality of eye sense.
Yeah. That's when we wear glasses.
Then we have to think to know whether we can say the object is clear or not clear. That must come after seeing. To know whether you think the object is clear or not clear, dull, dim, bright, or anything else.
Can I say that if I look at some colors with glasses or without glasses, I see, my seeing is different, but can we say that the colors are different too?
The object is different. The seeing is only the experience of visual object. You are not blind, so there is the reality which experiences visual object. The knowing, the experiencing, is normal. But the object which is seen is clear, or sometimes it's not clear. The seeing is only the experiencing of visual object.
When we talk about visual object, do we talk about visual object there or in the eye?
Can you see the object in your eye? Can you see your black, brown color?
No. But
because
the eye is
the sense can experience only the visual object which can appear through eye sense only. It can appear through the eye sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it comes close to the eye sense. The object has to be which object anyway, which can be seen through eye sense. Now you take which object for something, but in reality it's only the reality which can be seen by seeing consciousness through eye sense only. Can be seen through eye sense.
Can you say anything about the quality of seeing?
The quality of
seeing.
No, of conditions for seeing. Seeing is only the experience of visual object.
So there's no sense in saying some people see better than others.
The object is clearer.
No, but seeing.
Seeing experience visual object. The bat, the cat, the owl, see, but the object which is seen is different according to other conditions.
But the reality of seeing is the same.
Because seeing is only the experiencing of visual object. It sees, it cannot hear. Whenever visible object appears, it indicates that there is seeing which experiences that visual object.
Like, is this always the same seeing?
Seeing sees, that's all. Whenever it arises, it sees.
But seeing itself is no character or no characteristics.
Yes, it is the reality which can experience which object that is its characteristic.
But we cannot say anything about that seeing.
Why not? Because it experiencing which object now. It's there. But its characteristic is to experience which object only. Just seeing, only seeing an element which can experience which object only. Seeing is seeing because it's nama, because it's vipaka, because it performs function of seeing. But seeing which experiences unpleasant object is different from seeing which experiences unpleasant object. At the moment of seeing,
when seeing can be the object of sati, what appears? What appears?
You mean that when sati is aware of seeing,
yes.
Sati is aware that it's the reality which experiences object. Now, it's not the object,
mm-hmm.
but that is the experience. Then,
see.
Something which appears when seeing can be the object of sati, and something which appears when hearing can be the object of sati are different.
If there is no hearing at that moment, sound cannot appear. Is that right? So, sound appears as sound, and there is hearing, who or which experiences sound. Sati can be aware of the experiencing of sound.
As hearing.
As the experience.
As nama.
As the experience. As the experiencing.
Is it true to say that seeing cannot appear? Only color can appear.
It cannot appear as visual object or as sound.
It cannot appear as an object of any sort. It's not an object, it's only an experience.
It's the experience of the object.
Therefore, seeing cannot appear as seeing, but it
no,
appears as
seeing cannot appear as visual object. Hearing cannot appear as sound.
Okay.
But if you say that seeing does not appear, it means that there is no seeing.
Seeing does not appear as seeing, but
as visual object.
Seeing appears
as the experience of
color.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The experiencing of color and the experiencing of experiencing of sound, these two characteristics are same or not?
Same in the way that it's only the experiencing, but it cannot exchange its object. So they are different. No nama, no rupa after parinibbana of Buddha. So before one can directly experience nibbana, one should check oneself whether what one will be, if there, what one feel or what would happen if there is no experience of nama and rupa at all. Whether you like it or not. Because many people would like to rush to attain nibbana or experience nibbana, but they don't understand the meaning of experiencing nibbana. If they know, I don't know whether they like it or not. They would like to rush to attain nibbana or not, if they really understand the moment of experiencing the true nature of reality as it is, just the arising and falling away. It's not the object of desire.
No, I don't think that if anyone wants to rush, it means no understanding.
That's right. So brave to have such degree of right understanding, which can experience the arising and falling away of nama with detachment. if there's still the clinging of it, one understands immediately that it's not right time to experience Nibbana at all. One has to develop more right understanding, keener and keener.
Seems to me that I've never attached to nama and rupa.
It seems to me that I've never
to nama and rupa, but attached to only concept.
But if there is no nama and rupa, how can there be concept?
They never appears for me.
It appears, but panya does not see it as it is. Mm-hmm. For example, hardness appears as hardness, but panya does not see hardness as only hardness. No relation to other doorway.
How can you say concepts never appear?
Because they have no characteristic.
But how do we know that? How is there a word concept?
A word concept?
I mean, we say it doesn't appear.
Excuse me, can we say that it appears but it does not arise? It doesn't fall because it's not reality.
Because we know the idea concept.
Yes, at the moment when there is thinking about it. But it does not arise, it does not fall away because it's only concept or thoughts.
What I mean is that we can only think about it. We don't realize that because we think that we can see it.
I think that it's very difficult to understand the word appear because we use for many meanings.
People that ask me questions, I can answer them at some level. But I do not have experience that corresponds to my level of understanding of the Abhidhamma. So my understanding of it may be wrong in some very fundamental way. I may be just wrong about what I explain to other people. So I'm not sure that I can go around telling people what I know, where in fact I don't have experience that corresponds to being able to say with great confidence, yes, seeing in visual object eyes is the reality. And it seems that I just want to know whether this discomfort matters or it doesn't matter, or whether in the tradition that we're studying here, one can teach Dharma to other people without actually experiencing the realities that they're talking about. This is what I'd like to know.
When you say to the other people that seeing is different from visual object, I don't think that you don't have any understanding of it.
I have some understanding.
Yes. Is that not enough to say that seeing is different from visual object?
This is understanding at the level of intellectual understanding.
It does not matter as long as it can be proven.
Proven.
Yes, seeing is not visual object.
Intellectually proven.
No, directly
by
experience.
Yes.
Yes,
but who? But we have not experienced.
Yes, but it can be.
But how can you convince somebody else that it can be experienced?
When you say to the other people that seeing is not visual object, you have some understanding of this level too. Is that not enough to say to the other that seeing is different from visual object and develop right understanding in order to prove to direct experience seeing as seeing not visual object? Maybe the listeners can prove before the speaker, or the speaker can prove it before the listener. But it's true. It can be proven.
But my feeling is not to attempt to explain to anyone else without being 100% sure of myself. In fact, if I attempt to explain something I don't fully understand,
I
start getting my own mind into a mess and thinking false things. It's better to keep quiet, would be my feeling.
Seeing is real. Visual object is real. And seeing is not visual object. It depends on the person, whether that person will prove or not, will develop right understanding of them or not. If you talk about something else, it cannot be proved. But if you talk about seeing, which is the experience of which object, anyone can prove by developing right understanding with awareness. And when it's proven, it has to be the same as it was written or proven by the others before. The seeing has to be seeing. It cannot be visual object. There is seeing at this moment.
Yes.
So by learning it, it's not necessary just to think about it, but there can be awareness of it. So you can urge the listener to be aware of seeing immediately, at moment of seeing, and realize that whether it's reality which experiences visual object or not. Learning is not only from book, but from reality which appears. If there is no seeing, we shouldn't talk about seeing. We shouldn't tell the others about seeing. But everyone sees, and seeing can be proven too.
The first question the other person is going to ask is, so seeing is not visible object, so what? What is the point of teaching you this?
It's the reality which experiences visual object. Seeing cannot hear.
The important thing is that there is no self.
But what is it if it's not self?
That is the purpose of our learning about nama.
About reality which appears.
And sometimes, this is speaking from my own experience, we get so, not bogged down, but so concentrated on seeing and visible object that I lose sight of the purpose of the whole thing, which perhaps could be reiterated more frequently, that there is only that and not self.
That is thinking.
Is that right?
I think that is only thinking about there is no self. But in order to be sure that there is not self, there must be right understanding of reality which appears as it is. So it cannot be self, or it cannot be taken for self. For example, if one would say there is no self, it's just words. It's only word. But when there is right understanding of reality which appears as it is, no self in seeing, no self in visual object, no self in sound, no self in hearing, no self in thinking.
I guess maybe because this is my first time here, but I find my concept of self and yours must be very different, because I see, I hear. You see, you hear. You see, you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself see.
All right.
I myself.
Yes, but if there is no seeing, can there be I see? If there is no hearing, can there be I hear?
If there is no I.
If there is
there
no
is
seeing,
no.
See. No. If there is no seeing, there is no I who see.
If there is no I to see, there is no seeing.
I put it the other way.
If there is nothing at all, where is I?
If there is nothing, where is mm-hmm. I?
If there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, feeling.
But those things come from this organism. I can see. If there is no I, then there is no seeing for me.
But if you really understand the reality of seeing as it is and hearing as it is, we cannot find I in seeing.
You can't find I
in seeing at all.
Does that mean you can't? You can see without an I? Is that what you're not
saying? Yeah.
I,
anything.
I.
Capital I.
Self.
Self.
But without the self,
it's
my point right now, am I pointing to self?
Self or body?
Okay, for you they're different. That's what I'm trying to find out. What is the self, and if it isn't this?
What is yourself now?
Myself?
Now.
Now?
Yes.
Well, you can see a lot of
it. I see visual objects.
Yeah, and I call it the visual object you see. Myself. Also, there's a lot of ideas which I'm formulating right now. They're part of myself.
But don't talk about what I see, but what is your answer for what is myself now? What is yourself now?
It's the sum total of my body and thoughts.
Where is yourself?
Where? Right here. My body's sitting here, my thoughts are also in this room.
So it's body.
And elsewhere.
So it's body, it's thinking, it's seeing, it's hearing. But they are different realities. Seeing is not hearing. If seeing is not self, if seeing is self, hearing shouldn't be self.
Mm-hmm. Because if seeing is self or hearing is self, self is all the things that this body can do.
It should be other things besides these things. Because these are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, feeling. So if there is self, it shouldn't be something different.
It shouldn't be something different.
It should be something different from these things. If you think that there is self.
The whole is the sum of its parts, is that?
Well, if you say I'm looking for the sum of all these things, then it's an idea. If you say the self is the sum of seeing and hearing and body and thinking, then it's that's an idea of magic, because something made up of different realities.
If you want to think of yourself as the sum total of your of how you look, and what you feel, and what you see, and what you touch, and what you think, and what you do, and all these things, then you have to come around to admitting that yourself cannot be experienced. Because at any one time, you're experiencing only one of these things, and you cannot experience the whole. You're either seeing, or hearing, or thinking, or having somebody look at you, or touching something, you know. You cannot do all of those things at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of that, you cannot experience the sum, what you call the sum total. The sum total is something very general, something very conceptual.
Sure.
Right. This is what it is. A conceptual model, something constant. It isn't something that is real. That you can experience. It's not something that you can know exactly where it is and what it's doing right now. Let me do this way.
Excuse me. Is it right or wrong to say that seeing is seeing, not self? Or is it right to say that seeing is the self?
I don't think it's right to say seeing is the self.
So, what is right? Seeing is seeing.
Seeing is seeing.
It's right, no self.
Seeing then doesn't require a self. Does seeing require
so,
a self?
So, first, what is seeing?
If I can get give you a physiological explanation, I would. That's the kind of answer I would like to give you.
What is the characteristic of seeing?
Characteristic of seeing.
What is the function of seeing?
Function.
What's the object of seeing?
Function is so that I can walk around the room, so that I can direct the body.
That is not function of seeing.
No.
No.
I don't know. What's the function of seeing?
Seeing sees. It cannot do anything but see.
Seeing sees.
Only.
But I don't see.
No.
Seeing sees.
It's right to say that seeing is seeing. It's wrong to say that seeing is I.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But
so
I think it's right to say that I see.
Seeing is seeing. It's right to say that seeing is seeing.
Sure, a table is a table. I agree. Seeing is seeing, a table is a table.
So it's wrong to say that seeing is I who see.
I don't think, I agree. It's wrong to say that seeing is I. It's wrong to say that the table is I.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Shall we know more about seeing so that we have more right understanding of seeing?
What can you say about seeing?
It's real.
It's real.
It arises and falls away. It's conditioned reality.
Conditioned reality. Conditioned. Is there another kind of reality? The conditioned reality, do you have other kinds of reality?
Anything which appears arises by conditions. You cannot create anything.
No.
So seeing is only conditioned reality. Why do you take it for self? And what is the object which is seen by seeing?
What is the object which is seen?
By seeing.
By seeing.
Yes.
I don't understand your question. What is the object
which is
seen by seeing? Again, I can count all the objects in this room that I see.
Please, please.
Count them all?
Please.
I haven't got time. I believe in 15 minutes.
How many things you can count?
How many things I can count?
Yes.
Everything I can
by seeing. One or two or 12, 10. Just one. Visual object.
What?
It's an idea.
It's an idea. The glass is an idea.
Close your eyes. Can you see the glass?
No.
Because there is
no.
Because there is no visual object.
No visual object.
Is seen when you close your eyes.
You're saying when I close my eyes, there is no visual object. Sure, that makes sense.
So, what is the object which is seen? By seeing.
By seeing. I can't even know I direct my eyes. Can anybody else answer that question? What is the object which is seen? By seeing.
Isn't it just a visible object which seeing is experiencing?
Sure.
Strictly speaking, there is no need for concept formation to take place when there is a moment of seeing. Right? The dog sees, right? And the dog may not have a concept of book. So the dog looking at the tail will not see books. Okay? So, seeing precedes concept formation, or Vishuddha formation. Seeing sees beam of colors that comes into the eye. That's all it does. Then there are other processes that come in immediately afterwards and differentiate these things into concepts and entities and objects that have to do with your mental upbringing. You would call that this is the glass, this is the room, this is the ventilator, and all this. But this is already a process of conceptualization. It is different from seeing. You have to be very precise in these things. Because otherwise, confusion reigns.
The Buddha taught that there was no self.
Because it's the truth.
But there were many truths which he didn't teach, which were not useful. Why is it useful for us to know that there is no self?
Yeah. In order to eradicate wrong being and vilesa and wholesomeness.
I mean, for not just an academic belief. Yeah, there's no self. It's great practical significance in liberating man. Somebody else can explain it better than me. The Buddha taught the truth because it was vastly important to understand this. To explain why it was important.
It can be the answer of the question, why do we live? Just to know the truth of life or of realities. What's the goal of your life?
Oh, the goal? I think that's a little different than why do we live. What is the purpose? What are my purposes, or what is the purpose for people to live? Me in particular? Why do we live?
Do you mean the purpose in the future or the purpose now?
Now.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Future hasn't come yet. Just live or what? Accumulate more unwholesomeness or develop more wholesomeness?
Wholesomeness. The more conscious you are, the more, in fact, you are alive. The more conscious of what? Of what is real.
I mean, what about somebody out in the soil dies out there now? Is that sorrow for us?
Maybe. If you can feel it,
but everything falls away.
And everything you attach to brings sorrow in some way, sooner or later. Sorrow or unsatisfactory feeling or feeling of incompleteness or not necessarily violent grief, but just dissatisfiedness. Maybe a person or thing, because it comes to an end.
And what is better, attachment or non-attachment? Maybe you don't know the moments when you are attached. It
I'm
is
sure
so soft, okay. So slight, so soft. But you can check with your feeling. If your feeling is not unpleasant, if it's not unpleasant, it has to be neutral. Or pleasant.
Yes.
It's neutral. Sometimes very slight pleasantness or not. So that can be right understanding that what type of citta appears now within different feeling. When it's not dosa mula citta, when it's not moha mula citta, and it's not kusala citta, it has to be attachment. Suffering. Slightly. if you are attached to seeing, it
yes.
indicates that you are attached also to the object which is seen.
Otherwise, why would you be attached to the seeing?
Why do you want to see?
Oh,
excuse me, there's one point that maybe we could add in. You said that you are attached to the pleasant feeling. Yes?
To the things which
yes,
give me the pleasant feeling.
Excuse me, we are very attached to pleasant feeling, and at the moment of being attached to pleasant feeling, that attachment, that moment of attachment may arise with pleasant feeling or with neutral feeling. At the moment of being attached to the pleasant feeling.
Seeing sees object. It's not only seeing without object.
See, the way I understand that is we want to see
object too.
Oh, we want to see objects. We want to see a lot of objects, and we want to see different objects all the time. If we had very few objects to look at, without new objects coming our way all the time, we would be what is called sensorily deprived. We would think this is terrible.
This I understand.
Right, so we want to see objects. We go to great length to increase the variety of the objects that we see, just because we want to see a lot of objects. Yeah, but without thinking whether pleasant or unpleasant, we just want to see more and more.
But you can't.
So thinking, so the sound is there, but there's no thinking of it.
Dreaming is thinking.
Dreaming is thinking.
Yes. Through mind, by previous accumulation of experiences.
It would be possible in light sleep and dreaming for there to be sense impressions and thinking of the body and
yes.
creating
mm-hmm.
dreams and through the mind and creating concepts.
By condition.
And there's no awareness. So there's no
there can be awareness if there is condition.
I mean, there's no knowing of that.
When there is awareness, there can be knowing of nama and rupa, and you may be awakened immediately, instantly.
Awakened.
Anytime. You can wake up anytime by condition. You sleep by condition. You dream by condition. You wake up by condition.
So the whole thing is I'm thinking. So I'm not really too clear on whether it's thinking that because of thinking. Evan said something then.
Thinking is conditioned. At moment of seeing, we cannot stop thinking of the object which is seen. At moment of hearing, we cannot stop thinking of the word or the concept or the sound which is heard. So while one is asleep, there are conditions for dreaming to think of such and such dream and to wake up anytime by conditions again.
And those sense impressions, everyone was talking about the condition, that can condition certain dreams.
Yes.
There's no knowledge. I won't say awareness, but there's no knowledge.
There can be awareness if one has developed quite a lot of awareness. That can be conditions for awareness even in dream. Because it's only through mind or dream is thinking. Experiencing objects through mind or
everything, to know anything, has to be thinking.
Yes. When you wake up, you know that all at that moment it's only thinking about sound, about sight, about the story. You think that you see many things in dream, but when you wake up, you know that it's only thinking about sound, sight, smell, thinking. But there must be awareness of it, otherwise you cannot see that it's only thinking. And memory plays a great part in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The mixture of different memory, of sound, smell, sight, concept. And Arahata does not dream. No feeling to any experience through keep going.
So why doesn't he clean?
Arahata, he has no clinging to any object.
Then a dream is always some level of
clinging. Yes, because one clings. So one may not know how much one clings to such and such objects, far or near experiences. But it forms up in dream, as a dream.
Can it be said that if someone that dreams a lot has more clinging in their daily life than someone who doesn't dream?
In reality, everyone dreams, but some may not realize that one dreams or one swimming. One cannot tell what one dreams
about.
There's
no memory of it.
Yes. But it's only mind-dark process. So there must be mind-dark process in between sense though, all the time, in different ways. When it's mixture of sanya, it comes up in terms of dream, or by way of dreaming, mixture of sanya. At this moment of seeing, sanya remember the object which is seen, and define the object according to what it has experienced or remembered before. This is not dream. But when it's mixed sanya, through that stage, or that state of consciousness, loss of uttaccha, no peace of mind, disturbed by different mixture sanya, forms up dream.
So the intention to do an act in you is the same as the intention when we're awake. There's no difference
at all. But it's not as strong because it's conditioned by the accumulation, previous accumulation. Just like thinking. It's not the real action. Like now, if you kill, it's reaction. It's not thinking of killing and form up the picture of killing in dreams. So, for monks and for everyone, it's not akusala kamma at all. Because it's only thinking about performing deeds, ill deeds, not the actual moment of performing ill deeds.
Our previous accumulations, our previous lives would influence our dreams also?
Yes. Everything which one has experienced has been accumulated from moment to moment. So in one's life, one is always adding more experiences, more attachment, more clinging. Without right understanding, it cannot be eliminated at all.
You said there can be awareness while asleep, while dreaming.
Awareness can arise if one has developed
in daily life, in more awareness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because awareness is conditioned too. It can arise through mind though. One can dream that one is aware at that moment. There is awareness of the object, but the other moment, the mixture sanya and memory plays great part in dreams.